to Robert Dane, just to see if there's anything new on the researcher report. I don't believe there is. I could be wrong. I see a stack of papers. Go ahead, Dane.
Two general approaches that are being contemplated in the formation of CGD. One is a 501c6, which is a more private model, and I'd like to address that quickly, if I may. To do a 501c6, one of the advantages of it is that it would be a separate organization from the city, and therefore I would recommend, although the council has the ability to arrange the contract with the 501c6 in almost any manner they so desire. But if you start influencing substantial control, which is usually defined as 30%, if you exceed that amount, then there's a lot more bookkeeping and a lot more liability attached to that. Of course, if you do an authority, that authority will be under the auspices of the city by definition, and you guys can do form it and make the rules as you so desire.
Okay, I got a question for you on that. So to clarify, if we did a 501c, my thought process here has been that nominations flow through this council. And for instance, it kind of follows, I think, Danny, your original white paper. Three hoteliers, one from myself, three from each district, or one from each district, one from PCID and one from the chamber. But that formation flows through council. So if we go to the hoteliers, they give us three, we have to ratify. What's my idea? Are you saying that for a 501c that would not work well?
My recommendation is a 501c6, and you guys can do whatever you so desire. But I would recommend to keep the actual control, i.e. the nominations that the council actually nominates, to be limited to 30% of the organization.
Okay, so in that particular case, it wouldn't work. But if we, given that scenario, then we're saying, if I had a nomination, each district put forth a nomination, that would give us 4 of 9 and would be somewhat close to 30%.
That would exceed. But you could, I would say it would not be controlled if you said, we want 3 hoteliers on it. But you guys didn't actually name the hoteliers.
I understand. They could just choose and
however process. Okay. You can stipulate the makeup that you want it, as long as you don't actually specify.
Okay, this is a new twist.
Okay.
So yes, Robert. If we ended up with a board of 9 and exactly 3 of them came from here, would that put the 501c6 where we want it to be in terms of...
I believe that would be closer to the 30%.
Okay.
I just want to go back to your last statement. I just sat back down because I realized when you said to Ken that basically as long as hotelers nominated their people and we accepted that, that would be considered part of that, and we would not have to worry about the 4 people that we were going to nominate. Is that a correct statement?
What I'm saying is you can designate, I would contend that the control is the people that you would nominate. You could also specify in the contract to say, we're going to give you this amount, the hotel money. In order for us to feel comfortable about the hotel, we want to have the hotel industry represented, and therefore, we would like to have the hotel represented, for lack of a better number, say 3 of 9 or 2 of 9, whatever you so desire. You could specify that in the contract and see that you didn't actually designate the people or put the people on. I would say that would not be counted in your control.
Okay. So one of the things I would be concerned with is that if we had 3 hoteler slots, that anyone else came up and nominated another hoteler, that would be 4. That would be one of my concerns right there. You know, if you have 3 slots for the hotelers, I'm fine with that. But then someone else comes up and says, okay, well, my nominee is, you know, so-and-so, and they're with the hotel also. Well, then that is, as far as I'm concerned, overstepping the bounds of the three nominees and being outside of the limits of the intent that we have here.
Well, you could, very similar to where you could say you want a minimum number of designees, you could also specify a maximum. You have the ability to do so in the contract.
Okay, so we can set the board number hard and then just ratify whatever the amount in the 30-35% in your record.
Well, no, I'm saying what you would do is you would nominate for 30%. The others would be specified in the contract
right. That
they would have to include those members on the board for in order to get the 501c6.
Yeah, understood.
Tom?
I guess from a legal standpoint, you're saying exercising control, but if we have to ratify those members, would that put us beyond the 30% control?
You're getting very grave, probably, but I would not like to give a statement to that at this time.
I think just for the council here, you know, there's a control is a nice word, but there's responsibility and authority here, you know, and I think you delegate authority, you never delegate responsibility. And responsibility rests here because the citizens put us here, and it's their money that we're talking about. So I think that responsibility can never be taken lightly, and I think all of us need to consider that in every decision we make. Authority, I have no problem with. But responsibility, ultimate responsibility of how, whether it's a 501 or an authority, how that is conducted falls upon the seven people that are up here. Is elected by the citizens of this town.
Okay.
Well, you have the ability to nominate all of them, but then you have control of the 501c6, and that gives a lot of different aspects to it.
Okay. Spoken like a good lawyer. All right. Other questions for Brian, now that he's left the stage? All right. So let's open it up internally. And Danny, you want to kick off kind of
very? I have crafted a mission statement, which I think falls in line with the importance that I feel that the CBG has to the city of Dunwoody. Tourism is the second largest industry in the state of Georgia. This is the only opportunity that we have as council people to address economic development in our city. We have no other funds, either from our community development, from our public works, or any other part of our city that we have to address economic development. And this represents our one opportunity to do that. And I believe personally, and what I've talked to other people about, is that we need to make sure that we have representation from the various aspects of the community, be it hotelers, restauranteurs, business people, and people from our community. But we also need to make sure that we have the proper oversight in exercising our fiduciary responsibilities as council people to make sure that we maximize the impact that our hotel-motel taxes have. Just for the purposes of the people in attendance here that may not have looked into this whole issue, today we collect 5% tax from the hotels on the people who stay there. If they spend $100, we get $5. And out of that $5, we spend $3 goes into our general fund as a city. $2 goes into a budget that which would be allocated to the CBB, irrespective of how we set that up. And at last year's rate, the numbers would have been about $900,000 of monies that would be allocated to the economic development or putting heads on beds portion of the funds that come in. This year, like everything else, the revenues are down, so our tax base is a little bit less. We're running probably short of $700,000 this year in revenues at the 2% level. The mission that we have, I believe, as a informing a CBB is really one that encompasses the entire community. It encompasses economic development, assisting our existing businesses that are here, assisting our hotels and making sure that they maximize their rooms, uses of their rooms, and also in making sure that the venues that we have in Dunwoody are used and our growing and are to the benefit of the citizens of our community. In crafting a mission that reads, the mission of Dunwoody Convention and Visitor Bureau is to generate economic development for the Dunwoody by effectively marketing the facilities of the community and surrounding areas as a preferred business, convention, and tourism destination. We are the visiting and meeting professionals' trusted partner, the heart, soul, and energy of our destination. We drive economic success and enhance the quality of life in our community. By establishing a convention and visitor bureau founded on excellence, Dunwoody will become a better destination. And that's the mission that, irrespective of how we organize this CVB, we need to live up to. In my view, there's a couple of things in terms of this organization that I think are important. Our revenues that we're spending to date, notwithstanding CVB, we have total oversight on those revenues. And I hope this council believes, as I do, that we're spending those revenues wisely and that we're investing in making this community better. And I look at what we're doing with CVB, I look at it no differently, that we need to take the amount of money that we have and we need to invest it and make sure that it's spent wisely. And the one thing that we do know, that we've got oversight over what our public works people spend, even though they're contractors. We have oversight over the community development folks, their contractors. We have oversight over our finance and accounting, and all but one of those are contractors. Our director, who I'm glad to have Chris on board, and I meant to mention that I welcome him on board as our new director of finance. But all those people we have oversight from this council. And I see no difference in the oversight that we should have and the way we should be able to execute that oversight as far as CVB is concerned, from the CVB or any of the other parts of our community. This is an important aspect of our community. The first thing we should challenge our CVB to do is to build a plan for what our needs are for making sure that we become the destination and we have to realize the vision and the mission statement that we've outlined here. And the first thing we need to do is, do we need to build facilities in Dunwoody that would assist us in making that happen? If you look around our community, there are facilities that have been built. None have been built using the CVB in DeKalb County over the past few years. None. But if you look northward to Alpharetta, they built an amphitheater. If you look westward to Marietta, they built a convention center. They built a state-of-the-art, world-class performing arts center that our opera now performs in. And if you look downtown, you see lots of facilities there, notwithstanding the Georgia World Congress Center that was built because of the ability to raise bond monies. The one thing that the C6 does not provide for is the ability to raise bond money. If we're going to do anything, we've got to give the responsibilities and the ability for people to do what they need to do and put it all together in one package, in my view. We have oversight. We have the ability, and the document that I just passed out provides some guidelines that we can have in building our bylaws for this particular CBB, whereby we would have the ability to set the budgets and approve the budgets each year. We have the ability to audit and to look at the financials anytime we want to. And of course, as a council, we always have the ability to have an ex officio participation in these meetings. But tourism is an important part of our community. We have lots to offer here. We could have much more. In order to build facilities, you might ask, how are we going to do that? With a $14.7 million, less than $15 million budget, that we really have to watch every penny that we spend to make sure that we can run the city on that amount. How are we going to do it? With the ability to bond, we can raise additional funds. And one of the things I didn't mention is the fact that we can increase the 3% level that we're operating on to, we can increase that, I'm sorry, the 2% that we're operating the CVB on, we can increase that up to 5%. And it could give us somewhere in the range of $2.5 to $3 million that we can use to service the debt on bond. And all this is done by visitors that come into our community. not by the citizens of Dunwoody. And the end result of that is that we end up with a facility that will allow us to expand the economic development in the community. It expands our facilities that we have in the community, such as the Brookline Park that we expect to expand on. It expands the ability to use our Donaldson Chestnut House, our Nature Center, all these things, our Sproul Arts Center down the street here. All these things could be expanded with using the funds that could be generated through bonding. And I'm not suggesting that we should do that day one. It requires special study to do that, but we need to make sure that we're organized in a fashion that would allow us to do that within our organization with the oversight from our council. And with that, I recommend that we go with an authority. We've had several presentations over the past 3 months to the contrary. I really wanted to listen. I've met with several CPB directors and found out how they were formed. A lot of these were formed as the average CBB's been in existence for over 35 years. And most of the CBB's, a lot of them were formed in the early days as part of the Chamber of Commerce. For instance, the city of Marietta started out as part of the Chamber of Commerce. They spun out of the Chamber of Commerce, started their own, and recognizing that they needed to have bonding capabilities to do the two facilities that I referenced earlier, they, in fact, started an authority. That authority today is the funding aspect of the CDB, whose sole responsibility is to put heads in beds. The economic development part of it is in the hands of the authority. And I think we can really streamline this operation by starting from day one with the organizational structure that will give us the oversight, the authority, and the ability to do everything we need to do to make this a very successful CDB. And that's why I'm recommending it.
All right, thank you, Dan. Robert?
Yeah, just to clarify our purpose here tonight, my expectation was that we would come out of tonight's discussion with some kind of sense for staff as to what kind of document we wanted them to come back to us with for us to have, you know, a public hearing on and a discussion on and an eventual vote on. Are we sort of in agreement that that's kind of where we're headed here?
I've tasked staff to be working on the base agreement, regardless of which way we go, authority or 501c. And Warren, do you have any comments to that right now?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we've been working in that regard to develop all the terms and conditions that would be appropriate for a contract with either an authority or a 501c6. We are probably within 30 days of having that document completed, and probably more like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So that's great information. Thanks. It strikes me that there are two main things that we have to give direction on. One of those is the composition of the board, and the other is the form of the charter. I agree with Danny that this is very important. This is a lot of money. It has the potential over years and years to be a whole lot of money. So we need to take this, you know, carefully and be very prudent. Let me throw out a straw man for the composition of the board. And the straw man that I want to throw out is very close to the one that Danny has suggested in his document. And it's very close, Mayor, to the one that you started with, which is that we agree that that we're looking for 9 members, 3 of them from the hoteliers, 1 from the PCID. I think I'd like to suggest that since we can only do, let's assume that 3 are going to come from this board.
Hold on.
Well, I'm assuming that at least 3 will be selected by board members, by the board. One, I'm going to suggest that we select from a Dunwoody restaurateur, and 1 from the Chamber of Commerce. I think that's, did I get them all?
So you kick me out of it, huh?
Well, because we only, what I think, Mayor, is that we have to agree on 3. Rather than suggesting that each council district creates 1, that basically the group of us selects 3 people for this board.
Right. So if we go, I think you're correct, based on Brian's advice, right. on that 33% threshold that we would be down to three. So what you've done is subtracted one, do three amongst all of us, and then added a restaurateur. I got it.
That's as a C6 that we're going to need three. We could actually need nine as an authority.
Okay. Yes, Danny.
I have a question regarding the ability to switch between a C6 and an authority. I see no reason for us to go out with a bond anytime in the near future. If it was easy enough to switch between the two, is there any reason why we couldn't go out with one, and then if we needed more authority to go out with bonding later to switch? What's the process of switching between one and the other, since they're both on one-year contracts?
If you're on a 501c6, it'd be a yearly contract.
Use the microphone. Sorry.
If you're on a 501c6, you have a yearly contract. You could just give them whatever notice requirements are under and not renew the notice and go ahead and form the authority at that time if you so desired. That could be done. If you're under authority, it all depends. You could do a multi-year contract in the authority. If you have a multi-year contract, you would have to live within the terms of the contract. If you made it a year-to-year under the authority, you could always disband it as long as the terms of the contract that you have with the authority is not violated. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just not sure if you're able to go out with bonds for an authority that could only go year-to-year.
If you actually establish an authority, you have the ability to do a multi-year contract, in which case you could do some sort of revenue bond situation, depending on, there are some legalities on the authority and how they can create, but let's assuming that those legalities are met, it could be done, because you can do a multi-year contract with the authority and do bonding off that multi-year contract.
I think where John maybe is going is you switch. If John, what's your question? Basically, you start off 501C.
Correct.
And say the 501C decided they wanted to bond out or do something with bonds. This council could then flip it to an authority. And then it very well might have to be a multi-year based on whatever the bond, the circumstances.
Correct.
All right, Brian?
I missed that question.
Okay. I haven't said one yet, so you're lucky. Could we flip, let's say we did a 501c, could it just be a matter of process that if we said, okay, we at the end of that 1 year, we all of a sudden created that and made it authority, it could be the same group of people, I'm guessing, just depending on how it read.
You could appoint the same group of people to the board of an authority.
Okay, I'm just trying to go down John's potential line of thought.
I guess my other point was the fact that if you have an authority with a bond, typically the bond issue will not be repaid within the first year. It'll be multi-year. So the ability to switch from an authority back to a C6 is rather difficult.
If you have a bond, that would be a true statement.
Right. So you can flip one way easier than you can flip the other, I guess is the point.
Yeah, once a bond is out there, then you're...
Correct.
Pretty much committed, I would say. Yes,
with the authority, if we did a bond issue, it would have to have the council's approval to do that, and that's where the bylaws would be written up. I provided a authority that was developed at Garden City as part of the package that I passed out by the state of Georgia, and we can use that as a guideline for establishing our bylaws, but they clearly have the right to not only approve the budgets, but also to approve bonding if it were to take place. So again, it's the oversight thing here. I don't think anybody's going to lend money to anybody, whether it be any kind of authority, if we have a one-year list on it, life on it, it's going to have to be for whatever term is required to repay that, because it's not the city that's standing up that obligation, it's the authority, and that is in fact an arm-length transaction to the city. It's the authority that is, in fact, signing up for the bond with our approval.
Okay. Other discussion on this? Yes, Danny.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on the bonding. on the bonding issue, the authority goes out and floats the bond. And lo and behold, whatever happens, they can't pay the bond. Who is responsible to pay that bond?
The authority.
The authority is. They don't have any money.
The bondholders don't get it.
Yeah, the authority is responsible, and the bondholders are the ones holding the bag.
Does the city come under any responsibility? Does the credit rating of the city come under any scrutiny?
Your first question is, properly done, the authority is the only recourse to get the revenues of the bond if it's properly structured.
Okay, second question.
Whether or not any credit rating, I'm not sure that how the credit standards are done. Private companies, I'm not sure that they may be able to lower your credit because it might give you some fault. I don't know how the credit rating systems are done. I can look into that and get back to you, but at this time, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't think the...
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Dave. Yeah. I think going back to the 501, I don't know, Brian, I'd like you to research more about the makeup of the board that we can appoint. I am very, very leery of how many governments are in the hole today and how many of them build empires. Let's take the DeKalb County DCBD. I don't know the exact figure, but I think it's somewhere around 40-some% of their money goes to their personnel. I think it might even be higher. I'm probably conservative there. So I would question their effectiveness. And one of the things that I'm very leery of, again, I'm repeating myself, I know that, but I guess I'm Irish, I get to do that, is that the idea of building empires and starting to build these things that, oh yes, we got a director, and now we got an assistant director, and now we got a secretary, an assistant secretary, and I need two more or else I can't do my job. So I'm very, very leery of losing that aspect of keeping things, as we say in the core, lean and mean, ready to do business. The other thing that I'm very concerned about is just the aspect of giving up the responsibility of the citizens' money. I don't mind giving the people the authority, but I want to be able to appoint some of the people on that board, and whether this council, who is responsible ultimately to the citizens, I do not see any reason why we cannot go with four members. And my straw thing, as Robert said, is close to everyone's, but my straw is four members from up here, three from the hotelers, and three only from the hotelers. That means if there are hotelers, nobody else can appoint another hoteler. The other aspect would be someone from the chamber and someone from the PCID. And if you take a look at that right away, you see three hotelers, a chamber, and a PCID, that's five, and we can appoint four, that's 5-4. So you can, there goes the argument out the window of, if some people like to use the word to control. I don't. I use the word responsibility and authority. So that's where I stand on that issue. Yeah, John?
I have a question regarding the 503C6. If it's unable to go out with a bond issue, but if we wanted a convention center, and the city wanted a convention center, could the city not go out and float a separate bond issue and have a vote of the citizens in order to do such an event?
Yes. Sure. That's a general obligation one, but yes.
Okay, so there are other means to float bonds for events or for structures that will bring heads in beds and bring economic growth to the city.
Yes, the city can float its own bonds.
Okay, thank you.
Warren, did you have something?
I guess just for a geo bond, we don't have a bond rating yet. Would that be down the road quite a ways, Warren? I don't know what the terms are on that. We'd have to obviously establish a rating.
Yeah, it would take some time to establish a rating. Somewhere in the 3 to 5 year range to establish enough financials to estimate on this much.
Any bond would be issued by the authority, they look at the underlying revenue stream that would come through here. As I mentioned, that revenue stream could become substantial, somewhere in the $2.5 to $3 million range, and that's what they'd be looking for repayments, not to the city of Dunwoody.
Danny, is it your recommendation that for the authority that there's a constraint put on that they would not be able to bond without council?
Yes, it is. They would not be able to bond. The budgets would be approved by the council. We'd have the oversight. We'd have the ability to name all 9 members, and the makeup of that would include all sectors that you talked about, restaurateurs, hotelers, people, business people, chamber, and 3 people that would name from each district. The board should be made up of people who can be contributing. This is going to be a very active board. We're lucky in Dunwoody to have the largest hoteler in the world in terms of rooms headquartered here in Dunwoody. And there are people who live in our community that know an awful lot about marketing, more so than probably anybody up at this table. And I think we have the ability to get them involved in this process in areas such as web marketing. This is an area where I think this thing could be substantially enhanced by using the resources that we have, as opposed to spending a lot of money on print advertising, which we're currently getting from DeKalb County. Danny, you mentioned the overhead that they have. They have 15 people on their payroll. I anticipate that our CVB is going to be somewhere in the range of 2.5 to 3 people, with the thought of being able to share the receptionist with the city hall, so that we don't have to have that kind of person in the organization. And again, we have control over the budgeting, so the number of people that we have would be under our auspices. And finally, in ways that, in order to make this thing sync up with the ways we've organized our other departments, we sent out an RFP and hired people from the private sector. We can do the same thing here, just like you did with the public works. We can, in fact, send out an RFP and hire as an independent contractor the people who operate this under our guidance.
All right, one more question, Danny, on this, on the control aspect. Once the board gets formed, other than the budget, I'm a little concerned on the control. They just run, they're running their own business without interference from council. Is that how it's set?
If that's the way we want it to be, but the reason that I don't want this thing as close to the council as we can get it, Mayor, is the fact that this is an important piece of business here, and I've just seen so many of these just sit out there and people not worry about them because they don't view them as being as important. But I see this mission. I came up as an economic development person, having started 30 companies in my career, and this is something that's dear and dear to my heart, is being able to take Dunwoody, the 43,000 people who live here, and enhance the economic atmosphere around here and build a good industry around here, and we can do that substantially. I saw things, on a center that was put into Mobile, Alabama. But just for instance, and I'm not supposing this is something we should do, but I saw a tennis facility that was brought into Mobile, Alabama that produced $28 million to the local economy just from the events that they held at that tennis facility. So there are things that we can do that will greatly enhance the revenues into our community. And every time we put a different head on that bed, and we put more than what we did last year, we increase our 3% revenues and go into our general fund. So it's a win-win-win situation. This thing needs our attention.
No doubt. Yes, Danny. Just one last point. Danny, one of the things that this whole thing sometimes bothers me is that, we're putting money out there. Everybody says, that's good. But in a regular business, if you put money out there, if I'm part of your whatever I do, say I'm the motor grader guy at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and we want to put an ad out, and that ad is put out, well, we take a look at what is in return to that ad as far as marketing and sales are concerned, to whether we're going to continue that. And the guy up above us that takes all the head of marketing at Caterpillar would say, hey, you've done that, but you didn't sell near the extra motor graders that you said you were going to sell. I guess one of the things, how do we sit down and say, okay, you spent this much money on advertising, marketing, heads and beds in the facilities in Dunwoody,
what did we get for the return? Where is that return? How do we quantify that number? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
The study that I mentioned to you about the tennis facility, I think, is a pretty good representation, and I can share that with you if you're interested. But they had a series of events that they had at their tennis facility in Mobile, and they showed the money that came in. The hotelers really are second or third on the list of where people spend their money when they come to visit Dunwoody or any other community. The first is the restaurants, and the second, in our case, would be perimeter center of the businesses over there, the shops and things over there. People shop, they eat in restaurants, and they stay in hotels. And they also do other things that promote the general economy. And all those things are, in fact, tracked.
That's one of the things, you know, how we could quantify that and who would do that would be very important as far as I would be concerned, to make sure that we're spending their money and it's bringing in a return to us, you know. That's like I said, my example, we could do that exactly. We knew exactly. And if you didn't do it, wank. You didn't advertise anymore.
That went over the responsibility of the executive director. Exactly.
Okay. Other comments? Warren, when is this gonna be ready? My biggest concern at this point is we gotta move. I know, you know, time to ramp this thing up, it's gonna take time no matter which direction we go, and you know, before we know it, it's the end of the year and the hoteliers are certainly wanting this thing to be up and running so they see some results.
Well, there are three major documents that need to be produced. One is the ordinance that would establish the structure of the organization, the bylaws, and then also a potential contract between the city and either an authority or a 501c6. And that can be ready for probably our first meeting in July. I think we can have all three documents prepared and put some blanks possibly on them to fill in, but the actual documentation can be arranged for that meeting, and then y'all either can vote that time or the next vote on that would probably be the third Monday in July.
Okay, Robert.
I was just going to ask whether we want to go ahead and give staff a sense of our direction, or whether we want to wait and have two separate. I mean, I hate to. If we leave this open, we are guaranteed to give them twice the work. If we think we know sort of which way we're heading, we might point them in the right direction and maybe get it that much sooner. And I mean, I'm okay either way. At some point, we have to put a stake in the ground. I'm just wondering whether we want to do it tonight.
It was not my intention tonight, since this is a work session, to make it into a voting session. And that's exactly what you're suggesting we should do here. What I would suggest is that our next meeting, you're not going to be here the next meeting. I think the full council, as many as possible, should be here. Maybe the first meeting in July, we should, in fact, make our decision as to what we want to do, vote on it, and then give the staff direction so they won't have to prepare papers that may not be appropriate.
Yeah, I agree, and I want to read Danny's paper. You know, I'll be honest with you, I would definitely lean in 501 seat in all respect to the councilman, Ross. I know the passion is there on the authority. I want to read up on it, but I want to get this done. It's got to get done quick, so I do want to read up on this. I don't want to be lobbied by anybody. I'm not looking at them. Danny has not lobbied. I'll give you that. But I want to read up on it, and from what I understand, Brian and Warren, that either way, our base is our base of what you're working for. No matter if it's a 501c, we can pass through a resolution. As I understand, there doesn't need to be a first and second read. Is that correct? Can you confirm? All right. And authority would need to go through two reads.
The other thing I did want to point out to council from a timing perspective also, you've got a 90-day notification period with DeKalb County CBB, and at whatever appropriate juncture that y'all have, it would be appropriate to notify them of your intent.
That's with DeKalb.
Right. DeKalb CBB is 90 day, and the key on that is that you know, you're giving your monthly allocation of 2% to the DeKalb CBB until you provide them notice.
Right.
And then it'll be after 90 days, the money will start flowing to whatever the new CBB that y'all put into place with it.
Yeah, understood. I mean, my biggest, really, truthfully, my biggest concern is I'm guessing that the DeKalb Convention Visitors Bureau probably is not performing at peak now, and so we're in this lull. And to get our hoteliers up and running, we have to get this thing established, get the framework, and that's going to take time, get the board, get them to get their stuff together, and then kind of proceed. So that's my big worry, that that all gets together. So any other comments on this? Okay.
Danny, is this yours, or does the staff have input to this also?
Okay. Well, I've had interviews with the staff, with Brian, with Becky, from this perspective. I think things are trying to agree with everything in the vicinity, and also having interviews with a number of CDB directors.
Good. I just, one of the things I think I talked about was the possibility of the staff coming up with a 501(c) or 501(c), C6, one of those, and then authority on this side, and just put pros and cons. Have we done that yet?
I think it's all a matter of opinions. What I'm hearing, I've been hearing so many different things, I'm not sure anybody truly knows.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking from a standpoint. Is that possible, Warren, Brian?
Yeah, basically a grid. I mean, looking at 501(c) authority, you can or cannot. We hear one day you can't do grants for an authority, and then we hear that's not true. And then we hear
the pros and cons, you know, of both sides, or you know, the yeses and nos, or whatever, however you want to call it. Is that possible? You know, I think that might be helpful for the entire council, if at all possible.
I think the key element is finding out what the question is. I mean, determining whether it goes in this column or that column is easy. So what I would suggest for that is if we could, you know, if y'all could send me what the questions are about the two different organizations, and we can compile the grid from there.
I can give you a fairly simple answer to that, if you might. If you think about what the authority can, I mean, the 501(c)(6) can do, the authority can do all those things. If you look at the oversight is stronger for the authority. If you look at the ability to bond, the C6 cannot bond, but the authority can, all in one package.
I guess in some cases, IDOT were all smart enough to know the questions. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound good for me, but you know, I mean.
And certainly we can suggest some of those, but if there are any specific ones that y'all do have, we can take those in research.
Okay, Brian, who's walking away with this task? Is it you, Warren, or Brian?
Warren's looking
at the room, by the way.
They're all gone.
We'll work on it.
Your cousin left.
We can work on that together.
Okay. I was
summary standpoint, so as I'm understanding, is the first meeting in July is when y'all would like to take some sort of action at that meeting?
Absolutely. For the quickest we can do it, this needs to be done. So if that's 1st of July, then absolutely. The other thing I would ask is if you reach out to our hotelier group, and I want to hear their concerns, and that might help form this grid as well. Whatever may be from their vantage point on X, Y, and Z. So if you need those names, I'd be happy to get them to you. I think you know them. Okay, any other questions? Yes, John?
Just one last thing. If Councilman Ross, if you could email me this public document, it would be greatly appreciated.
Box tonight and online by midnight.
All right. And that'll get all of us. Ditto. Any other comments on this?
I'd just like to make one other comment with respect to DCBB, just bringing up the data function. They had a management change at DCBB. The director of DCBB left to pursue other interests. And the COO was elevated last week to become the CEO of the DCBB, that's Gary Greenhut, and he was really the driving force in the organization, and I don't think it's going to show any change in terms of the way they operate. He's the guy that brought the reunion program to DeKalb County and been very active there, and I had a long conversation with him last week, and he's still pursuing, you know, and he's on top of things. The only thing that I question him about is he's got 15 people on his payroll, and with his reduction in in revenues, he needs to take a look at some staff reduction as part of the overall program.
All right, thank you for that update, Danny. Any other discussion on that? All right, we're moving forward.